Chicago Sports.
Headlines.
I'm Simone with your Sactown Sports headlines. Happy NBA draft day. Tons of movement already out in the field. The Washington Wizards are finalizing a deal to send Chris Paul to the Golden State Warriors for a package that includes Jordan Poole and future draft assets. Late last night, Boston Celtics, Washington Wizards, and Memphis Grizzlies agreed to a three-team trade. The agreement sends big man Kristaps Porzingis to the Celtics, guard Marcus Smart to the Grizzlies, and guard Tyus Jones to the Wizards. Tonight, the Sacramento Kings currently hold the 24th pick in the first round, as well as the 38th and 54th selections in the second. With so much draft intrigue to break down tonight, Sactown Sports' very own Jason Ross and Chris Watkins are serving up a live draft special show for you right here after Cattles and Rami. All draft coverage on Sactown Sports is proudly furnished by Power Business Technology. For all of your business office equipment needs, contact them at 844-POWER-BZ or go to powercopiers.com. I'm Simone. Those are your Sactown Sports headlines. Welcome into Cattles and Rami with Jay Johnson.
Cattles and Rami.
Cattles and Rami.
Sactown Sports.
Hour three of that fine program. Jay in for Cattles. I am the Rami half. Simone on the other side of the glass. I said Brush Your Shoulders Off was probably my favorite Jay-Z song. So Simone had,
I had to.
Is this your favorite Jay-Z song?
It is. I said that. Yeah. We didn't hear Jay's though. I'm very curious.
I have an affinity for this because it samples from, you know, my culture. My culture's.
Do you have a favorite Jay-Z song?
Man, off the top of my head, I'd probably say Jigga What? Jigga Who?
Okay.
Oh, that's a great one, Jay.
Manny says I like Empire State of Mind.
I saw that. Okay. I'm not big on the New York stuff. Yeah, exactly.
I'm from the West Coast, man.
Beautiful song.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, solid song. And I love Alicia Keys. She has the voice of an angel.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, absolutely.
What, was that? Was it like one of the VH1s or like MTV Movie Awards where the lip gloss chick went on stage while Alicia Keys and Jay-Z were singing it, and she was trying to have a moment too, and they basically had to boot her off. No one knows what I'm talking about.
I do not.
I'll have to find it in the break.
Or I don't remember it.
Jay, it's pretty iconic.
You threw a rumor at me during the break from the NBA where things are getting crazy that I have a hard time wrapping my head around. You want to throw that at the audience real quick just to put it out there?
Yeah, according to Shams here, we're hearing that the Celtics, Boston Celtics, Knicks Celtics, are pursuing Kyrie Irving.
The Celtics?
The Celtics.
Are pursuing
Boston.
Kyrie Irving?
Yes.
That Kyrie Irving?
The only Kyrie Irving I know.
The same Kyrie, the one you sat next to at courtside at the Kings game.
Oh, man, come on now. I sat next to his daughter. His daughter was closer to me.
The same Kyrie Irving
that
left the Celtics holding the flowers before, right?
Yes. Unfortunately, Shams. You got. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, it's not the real Shams?
Yeah.
Okay.
They spelled something wrong on NBA Central. Here on this tweet.
NBA Central?
Yes.
NBA Central's real.
No, it's misspelled back here. The one that you've sent.
Happens to all of us, Jay.
No. I just saw Shams.
Do we have it on there?
Yeah.
Is this real or is it not real?
Let me go to it.
Hold on one sec. I'm going to go to it myself. Okay.
Go to Shams.
Oh, it's on Shams' actual, his Twitter account where he says it? Let's see here. No, the last thing I see from him is 3 hours ago. Golden State is also trading 2022 second rounder.
Kyle's here too, and he definitely wants to pipe in for this.
Kyle, did you got something to add on this?
He's confirming it's fake.
It's fake. Okay. Damn.
NBA Central got me.
We've all gotten got, Jay.
Yeah. NBA Central got me.
Did NBA Central get got? And then got Jay getting got?
The account tagged the correct Shams Charania, but the account that sent it out is the NBA Centel.
Yes, that's what I was saying, the misspelling there.
What are you people doing?
Eject Ocito. What are we doing here?
What are we doing here? Why y'all got to do that? But so that's one move that's not going to happen, which makes sense.
I hope it happens.
That makes
sign
sense.
Sign me up now.
Oh my goodness. That makes much, much more sense. But plenty has happened, Jay. We've talked about some of it here on the show. Kristaps Porzingis, he's going to be a Celtic. Marcus Smart is now a Grizzly. You had the trade last week sending Bradley Beal to the Phoenix Suns. And, of course, as all this is happening, betting lines are shifting. And I don't bet, but it does tell you, like, what people think is going to go down in the NBA. And with the deal that the Celtics made yesterday to get Kristaps Porzingis, they're now the odds-on favorites to win the NBA championship next year at plus 475. Then you got the Nuggets at plus 500. And then the Phoenix Suns keep moving up. They were at plus 850 to win the title when before they made the Bradley Beal trade. Those odds dropped to plus 650 after the deal, and now they are at plus 550, which means more and more people are putting their money down on Phoenix to win the title. Now, these odds in this article that I read, this was before the deal that sent Chris Paul to the Golden State Warriors. Exactly. So, Jay, my question to you and anyone else out there, at 800-920-1140, you want to give us a call, text 916-339-1140. You can always comment at youtube.com/sacktownsports. Is from the Kings' perspective, and with the changing landscape in the NBA already, we haven't even really gotten to the offseason, which is the crazy thing. We haven't gotten to free agency. How much has it changed for the Kings, and how much harder or easier, depending on how you look at things, has it gotten for the Kings? Who are you looking at, Jay, and you're like, oh, man, now that's more of a problem than it was
Suns,
before.
Memphis, Golden State. I think it's the
all
same.
All three.
Yeah, I think it's the same, you know, usual suspects. And unfortunately, they pretty much all play in the Pacific, which is difficult. Not Memphis, of course, in the Western. But I do think if Ja comes back and he's right with the Marcus Smart, that's two people you can throw at De'Aaron, and you're going to run Marcus Smart. He's going to play De'Aaron one-on-one 9 times out of 10, you know, for a lot of the game, and you might even match him up, you know. When it comes to the Suns, firepower. It's just more firepower. If Kevin Durant comes back and is, like, completely 100% KD, I mean, that's a problem in itself. I think it's going to take a little time. He came to Phoenix, you know, midway through the season. They were still trying to figure it out. I think they still have one more move in, you know, within what they're going to do. I'm not sure DeAndre Ayton still sits there, you know, because it's a lot of money being spent in Phoenix. And I'm not saying the owner can't afford it, but I think they have one more move to make. Bradley Beal makes them powerful. The one thing that we've seen when it comes to what Sacramento Kings is, they're very vulnerable to a two. If you have a good two, you got, I mean, and some average twos gave the Kings problems throughout the season. Mm-hmm. Bradley Beal's no joke, man. Bradley Beal go put 50 on the board fast with no problems being asked, on top of what KD and Devin Booker's going to do. And the other part for me is I always felt the Warriors still had one more still left in them. I think with CP3 being there, he's going to be hurt. It on paper, it looks a little wonky. Looks a little funny, right? But if it allows Klay to kind of sit back a little more, allows Steph to just take every game, you know, come off the gas pedal 2 to 3 more minutes, come to playoffs, it's going to be very difficult. We see what happened with Steph and the Kings, of course, in Game 7, and that's not what won at all, but also, you know, Looney on the glass, that type of situation. I think they have one more move left in them as well.
I agree with you when it comes to Memphis. I think they're a problem officially.
Yeah,
now,
for sure,
with getting Marcus Smart and the Ja Morant suspension not being what we thought it might be. Like, mm-hmm. We had heard maybe half a season or 50 games was coming Ja Morant's way. 25 is manageable for an NBA superstar to miss 25 games. And I think adding Marcus Smart to that team, you basically get everything you got from prime Dylan Brooks without all the BS and the headaches that came with prime Dylan Brooks. So I think that's a team and a force to be reckoned with in the West. And I'd probably, now with more knowns than the last time I talked about this with the Memphis Grizzlies, probably I'd put them ahead of the Sacramento Kings in terms of the hierarchy or stacking up of the Western Conference. With those other two teams that you talked about, Jay, and it really both come back to the same point. And you said, when you're talking about Kevin Durant, you said if he can come back mm-hmm. at full strength and healthy. And my thing is this, man. I'm not doing that anymore.
Okay.
I'm not with Kevin Durant and not with that Suns situation as a whole, not with that Warriors situation as a whole, when you look at the ages that all those guys are at. And I compare it to, I'm going to start calling the Phoenix Suns Brooklyn Nets West.
Okay.
And I always called the Brooklyn Nets the what-if champs. It was always what-if. What if James Harden could stay healthy? What if Kyrie Irving? What if Kevin Durant? What if Kevin Durant's foot didn't go on the line? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It was always what if with the Brooklyn Nets. And I remember going into that season and being in Milwaukee at the time, and everybody was ready to crown the Brooklyn Nets when they put together that big three of Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and James Harden. People thought it's a done deal. Look at those three guys right there. Nobody's gonna beat that big three. And I went, but you got three guys who all have a hard time staying on the court.
Right.
Are we really sure that they're going to be able to put this whole thing together? And even when they couldn't, I remember going into that playoff series between the Nets and the Bucks, Jay, and everybody going, well, yeah, the Bucks were the better team in the regular season, but now the Nets got their big three. They got KD, Kyrie, and Harden all on the court. And I went, are we sure they're going to be able to all stay on the court? Because they played 8 regular season games together. You know what I mean? You're putting a lot of fragile eggs into a basket.
But is Bradley Beal fragile?
I mean, you look at, let me pull up his.
Is Devin Booker fragile?
I know we got to get to a break here in a second.
Yeah.
But you look at those guys last year, and between the three of them, they missed over 100 basketball games.
Very true. But for me, when it comes to Bradley, I just think he's going to be on a revenge tour. And that's scary for me. When you're talking about a guy who is finally out in Washington and has something to play for, that's somebody I really don't want to be in the way of. And this is the other thing. I'm knocking on all kind of wood.
He played in 50 games last year.
Give me the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
This the other part for it is, and we could talk about this on the other side, is this. The Sacramento Kings got tremendously lucky last season. That's probably not going to happen.
We talked about that throughout the year.
Tremendously lucky. So if that's the case, let's take a step back somewhere, because De'Aaron, if Bradley is considered, then De'Aaron's been pretty close, because De'Aaron's missed 15 to 20 games just about every season too, feels like. So you kind of got to give and take on that.
Now, you're right about that. The Kings will not be as healthy next year as they were this year. I'm not going out on a limb by saying that. Like, they were far and beyond healthier
lucky,
than the rest of the teams in the Western Conference. But we can continue this discussion, because I got the numbers in front of me now about how many games these guys missed last year, and it's borderline shocking. It's like eye-opening when you look at how many games those guys missed. We'll discuss more about this and some other NBA rumors floating around right after this.
Cattles and Ronnie.
Sacktown Sports. With you 1 mile at a time during the afternoon drive. Cattles and Ronnie.
Sacktown Sports.
Spurs fans feeling themselves today. I would be too. Marty Smith.
He's from Austin,
for ESPN.
Getting it in. I mean, he's got the boots.
He's the embodiment of
Texas.
Right?
The top hat.
The whole thing.
Woo!
The whole thing.
Some Wembanyama jersey.
Some slightly too short jean shorts.
Yes. Cut the big belt right. Buckle.
We'll allow it.
Oh, we will. Okay.
Simone will allow it.
Simone. Just before the break, Jay, I was talking about Nets West, a.k.a. the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah.
Who, like I said, I'm not gonna bank on the fact that all these guys are going to be out there and play. And something I should have had at my fingertips in the last segment so I could make my case even better than I did,
mm-hmm.
when you talk about the games played of these last three guys. Now, the one who you could probably say more confidently than the others, like last year was a blip on the radar in terms of their absence, their time missed.
Booker.
was Devin Booker. Mm-hmm. He's only 26 years old, so he has youth in his favor when you talk about staying healthy and injury free. And before last year, where he played 53 games, he played 68, 67, 70, 64, 78, 76. Like, staying healthy and staying on the court has never been a big problem for Devin Booker. But do I need to tell you or anybody else about Kevin Durant?
No.
And how hard to tell you, the last time he's played more than 55 games in the season was the 18-19 season, way back when he was a Golden State Warrior. Remember those days?
Yeah, kind of.
But then you look at Bradley Beal.
Beal, but before you go to Beal's numbers,
okay,
his is a little miskewed, because remember, for two or three seasons, they shut him down. They were like, look, we're going to trade you at one point in time. The 19-20 season where he played like 50 games or whatever, he wasn't, they came together and said he didn't want to play anymore. Mm-hmm. And he did that for about 2-3 seasons in a row. Now, this past year, he was banged up.
Played 50, 40, 60, 57.
He's only played 82, like twice, right?
Yeah, 82 the two previous years.
Right.
17-18 and 18-19.
Yeah.
So, again, yes, on paper, a lot of talent, a lot of firepower, and a formidable and a force to be reckoned with. You know what I mean?
I look at it this way. If one is missing, two still on the floor, it just kind of depends on who you like. For me, Devin Booker, let's just go to four stars. Bradley Beal, De'Aaron Fox, Domantas Sabonis, and who am I missing? Fox, right?
Yes.
Booker's the best out of all of them to me. Depends on who you like.
Mm-hmm.
Then you, for me, the argument still, I would almost take Bradley Beal over De'Aaron Fox if healthy. That's what the argument is. If you want to say De'Aaron had a better year last year, no problem. But I continue to keep on saying about Bradley Beal is he's been in Washington for so long that we've forgotten how good this dude is. On top of that, Washington has iced him out for the last 4 or 5 years. And it's kind of like, we don't need you to play. We're going to figure out what's going on. I mean, at one point in the 2019-2020 season, they were disputing. Like, he wanted to play, and they were like, no, you don't have to. Then they came up with some cockamamie scheme of like, oh, he had a knee injury or something. And then we saw him in the summer league. He wouldn't play with Jamal Crawford in the summer league. It's like, dude's not hurt. You're just saying that, you know, because you didn't want to get fined. I truly think Bradley Beal is on a revenge tour, and I would rather have him on my squad than to go against that. And again, believe what you want to believe.
Mm-hmm.
I think, dude, when he is really on top of his game, I'm a bigger Bradley Beal fan. Like, I would probably say a Paul George and a Damian Lillard fan. Like,
is he your GOAT?
I like my guy. He's not my GOAT.
Like,
he's
definitely not my GOAT. Said about Paul George?
For sure. I like to see guys on a revenge tour. Dude's 30 years old,
You know what? I like all three of those dudes. You know, I'm a fan of all three of those dudes.
You're just not scared
of them. Where it's not, it's like in Brooklyn, I'm a big Kevin Durant guy. I could take or leave Kyrie more days than not.
And Harden.
And James Harden is one of my least favorite players to watch in the NBA. But I like these three guys, but the fact remains the same in terms of what was true for those three is kind of true for these three.
Okay.
And Jay, when you say if one is out, two are still out there, and that's a really good point. I would agree with you if one of those two is Kevin Durant. The duo of Beal and Booker is a very good duo.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that it's championship duo.
No, I agree.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not.
So.
But I also agree De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis is not championship duo.
You're right.
So the question comes back to me is, with the landscape changing, who would I be looking kind of like, I don't know. You know, I don't really want to see them. I don't really want to play them. I might not want to see them. And the tough part is they're in your division. Albeit you only play everybody four times Western. Sometimes you play each team three times depending on the certain year. But for me, the question that was thrown at me, if I'm looking across and I'm two-star deep and I'm De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis and I'm looking at Devin Booker and Bradley Beal and KD, I'm a little worried.
Man,
I'm a little worried.
Like, like I said, I crowned the Brooklyn Nets the what if champs.
Yeah.
I'm about to be guilty of doing the same thing with the Suns. If all three of those guys on the floor at the same time, good luck outscoring them. Like people keep saying, I don't know who's going to play defense. Like that's been the knock against that move and what the Suns are putting together. Good luck outscoring them.
Right.
You know, if those three guys are all on the floor at the same time. Just real quick before we get to the next break, Jay, Ian Begley reported this morning of SNY that the Knicks and Clippers have had contact about a potential Paul George trade. It is unknown if the Clippers are willing to move George. And Mark Stein reported earlier that the Clippers gave rival teams the impression that they were gauging George's trade value last week. That's a team that made a big jump last year in terms of their progress, how deep in the playoffs they got in the New York Knicks. Do you think Paul George is a guy that puts them over the top and into the discussion of contender? The GOAT, Paul George.
Yes. GOAT now, right?
Yeah.
Contender for championship?
Eastern Conference.
Eastern Conference, maybe not. I mean, they got to the second round without Paul George. What's interesting is what they would have to give up. Have they thrown in a towel on R.J. Beard yet?
I don't know.
Because, I mean, if Paul – okay, Brunson's your one.
They don't – Begley doesn't say what would be going back right. The other way. Just that the Knicks and Clippers have been talking about Paul George.
I would think you have to move one of Julius Randle or R.J. Beard, right?
You would think so, yeah.
Okay, so it just kind of depends on who you hit your wagon to. And Julius, R.J., Paul George, they're all right there kind of in the same body frame,
right.
Style of play somewhat. You know, Paul George is more refined than both of them. Julius Randle definitely tried to shoot more threes this year and had success in many games and did not in many games. I don't think it makes them a championship contender. The landscape doesn't really change for me on that when it comes to that level. But I would see them moving up to be like, okay, I could see them, you know, maybe entering that top three on the Eastern seaboard, maybe. I like Paul George. Again, it comes down to Paul George too, healthy as well,
yep.
You know, for that's, sure. His health is a big thing,
man,
too.
Man, it sucks.
It does.
That there are so many superstars in the NBA that we got to go, man, if that guy can stay on the court, you know what I mean? That's got to kill Adam Silver and the powers that be.
And I'll blame Kyle's all-time GOAT, Kawhi Leonard. That, a lot of that is based on why Paul George has been hurt for the last couple of years because he's been carrying that dude. I mean, he's been on Paul George's spine for the last 2 years. And then when a pop in for 20 games and average 25 and all, Kawhi, this man, stop it, brother. You've been on Paul George's back for the last 2 years. When Kawhi is healthy, he's a beast too. But, I mean, we're kind of phasing out to that point to where he'll never be healthy. And he takes so many games off, he's only going to give you 50. You just want him to be around for the playoffs. Paul George, and I go back to the double overtime game the Kings played the Clippers and Malik Monk had the big shots.
Yep.
Paul George had no legs at one point in time. You could see it. It was like, this dude is carrying his team.
Mm-hmm.
And when they needed a couple of jumpers at the end, he just didn't have it. And if Kawhi, you know, kneecaps was in the building, then it would have been a different story.
Kawhi was a killer for the first four quarters of that game. And then overtime came, and you just saw his legs go out from under him. Yeah,
it was an amazing experience.
It was, too.
Oh, was that one of the ones you were at, Simone?
Yeah,
she was in the building.
You were at that one.
Oh, yeah.
Was that the one where you were something? I couldn't remember.
Yes. You were elbowing folks?
Yes. Yeah. My fellows up in whatever nosebleeds I was at, there were just some young college kids, and I was elbowing everybody. I'm so excited.
Not a girl. Like Paul George.
That was an amazing, amazing game. I was just in Los Angeles over the weekend, and I'll give you a little review of my trip down south and something that grinds my gears when we talk about road trips. That's coming up next.
Cattles and Ronnie.
Sactown Sports. Who did what and why? Who are you pointing the finger at?
It's not whether you win or lose. It's how you place the blame.
It's who to blame.
On Cattles and Rami.
It is time to play that game of who's to blame. And this is going off my trip to Southern California, which till I got sick the first night in San Diego, was quite enjoyable. We got to San Diego. We went down Hollywood Boulevard. I saw the Chinese Theater, found all my stars, my favorite actors and whatnot.
You seen a new Pac star?
On the Walk of Fame. There's a new Pac star?
Yeah, Tupac just got his last.
Why didn't you tell me that before I went? I would have found that for
it's
sure.
Good, brother.
I found out Eddie Murphy has tiny feet.
What?
Yeah. If you go to the Chinese Theater, you know how everybody puts their hands and their feet in the imprint in the concrete? Eddie Murphy's feet, literally the same size as my girlfriend's.
Oh, man. My girl likes to party all the time.
I have the same size shoe as Will Smith, I also found out.
All right.
But, and then...
Eddie got Tyler toes.
Went to a Dodgers game. Great.
That's where it went wrong
stadium.
Right there.
It's a great stadium.
That's
you can't deny it. It's lots of history in there. You know what I mean? Baseball history, Simone. Okay, can we put all the other stuff aside and just enjoy something for a second? I sat right behind, for Barry fans, the actor who plays NoHo Hank. I explained the extra innings rule to him, which he did not know.
Wait, does he have an accent or no?
No.
Okay.
No, he does
so
not.
So wait, he... Okay,
but his reaction when I explained the extra innings rule to him was very NoHo Hank. Like, his eyes got big and he went, wow.
Wow, Barry.
it was cool. And then we got some Korean barbecue because we were right by Koreatown.
Of course.
And then we went down to San Diego, and that's when I got sick. The only thing I wanted to do in San Diego was see a Padres game. I managed to drag my ass out and do that. But one consistent theme throughout the trip, Jay.
Yeah, I already know where you're going.
Everywhere I go in Southern California.
405.
Traffic, man.
I-5.
Traffic.
Come on, man.
And, you know, I get it in L.A. Lots of people. You know what I mean? Lots of cars, lots of people. I get it. Like, in the city, I get it,
absolutely,
Jay. But in between the cities.
Absolutely.
Where there's nothing.
There's always something.
Like, there's... No, but I mean, there's nothing, Jay.
There's always something,
I look around,
Robin.
And there's nothing.
There's something there.
Somehow, there are traffic jams out there, too.
All the time.
From... I forget what it is.
Two ways to go to San Diego from L.A. 405, I-5.
We took the I-5.
There you go.
And from, like... past Orange County, Santa, what is Santa? I don't know, San or San, I don't know.
Too many Santas.
Anyways.
Too many Sands.
From there, just south of Orange County to about 40 minutes outside of San Diego. Just
Carlsbad.
Bumper to bumper. Nobody, and there's nothing. I'm looking around and there's ocean to my right
Oceanside.
And nothingness to my left. And I'm like, how are all these people here at the same time, and why aren't we moving? There's nowhere to go. There's nothing to do here. Why aren't we moving?
Yes.
Jay, I don't understand the traffic throughout California, especially Southern California, and especially in the more remote rural areas of Southern California. Jay Johnson, who's to blame for California traffic?
Okay, three things.
Okay.
All right. Northern California, I lived in L.A. almost 12 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
South Bay area, about 9 times out of 10. Hawthorne, El Segundo, Inglewood, around that way. Southern California, especially Los Angeles, has terrible public transportation.
There is that,
The blue line, the red line, all those different lines of the metro in Los Angeles, it's terrible. It is terrible. One of the worst big cities when it comes to public transportation. They are so far behind in public transportation that is sick when it comes to, you know, where they rank to be one of the second biggest city in the country, you know, in the country compared to New York. So that's first part. Now, the real things are this. Cats just don't know how to drive, Rami.
Thank you.
Cats just don't know how to merge, man.
Thank you.
Dudes don't know how to... You driving on your brake, don't know how to come off the gas. You just ain't got no whipping and dipping. You ain't got no skills, Rami. Dudes just don't know how to drive, right? And that goes across the board. I say dudes mean people. People don't know how to drive. That's the second. And for me, the third part is I'm looking at highway patrol. I'm looking at the PD. I'm looking at the sheriffs. I'm looking at any peace officer, anyone that has the opportunity to issue a ticket to someone who is driving 20, 25 miles per hour under the speed limit in the middle lane, in the left lane, and you want to continue to pull over people who drive faster, but you don't want to pull, you don't want to pull folks over who drive like somebody's grandmother in 72, your fault too.
Okay. I want to directly speak to some folks right now here on Cattles and Rami, all right?
Please do. Preach to the choir.
If you are in your car right now on the highway, right, and you're in the left lane, look to your right.
Mm-hmm.
Just briefly glance to your right, okay? If you're not passing anybody, move over to your right. Right, just right now, just turn on that turn signal. Move on over to your right, okay? If you're in that left lane and you glance out your right window, and you're going the same speed as the person to your right, or they are passing you.
Right.
Get off at the next exit. Find a safe place to park.
Yeah.
Get out of your car. Close the door. Lock it. Close your eyes. Throw your keys as far as you can throw them. And never drive again. You are not fit to drive. And you are a hazard to yourself and everybody else out there on the road. And you're causing us all to slow down and get in traffic jams and get into accidents. How do so many people not know this? How is this possible that so many people do not know this?
People can't drive.
Stop driving.
If you don't stop pretending.
If you don't know that, if you don't understand what I just told you and you don't know that, you shouldn't be on the road. You're a danger to us all and to yourself.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Truth.
All right. I'm glad I got that off my chest. Truth. So
you should be blaming DMV. Is that what you're saying too? Department of Motor Vehicles?
Driver's ed teachers who aren't getting that point across. Jay, I remember one time my driver's ed teacher was out for the day. He was sick or whatever. And one of our assistant football coaches came in and like,
that just sounds funny.
The most assistant football coach who's ever assistant football coach. I'm talking, you know, the short coach shorts, you know what I mean? The short coach shorts and the tight,
the polyester joints,
the tight polo shirt, you know, like super tight, still had his whistle around his neck while he was teaching driver's ed.
I'm imagining it.
And he started off the class by going, and again, you're going to think I'm making this up because it's the most football coach line teaching driver's ed that you'd ever want to hear. He walks in the room and he goes, today I'm going to teach you two ways to drive.
Offensively, defensively.
I'm going to teach you what's in this book. And then he literally drops the book on the floor and how to drive without pissing me off. And he was right. That meathead was right, okay? He was 100% right. There are certain things that are not written in the laws of driving that we all need to know so that we can all navigate out there safely and get straight where up. We're trying to go as quickly as we can get there.
That's a lot of cats who had no slide in their game across that pavement. I'm going to tell you the truth, Robbie.
So I like that.
My mom told me this, and I know we have to break, Simone. My mom told me this right before I started to drive. If you are afraid to drive, don't get behind the wheel because you can hurt someone badly.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's really all said and done, that's part of it. Like, we're crying about traffic, but I'm taking a step further. Is there are some people DMV shouldn't have never gave them the
Yes. Yes.
And one of the things you always hear is, right, driving is not a privilege.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, it's not a right. It's a privilege.
It's a privilege. Right? Yeah.
And so I'm going to leave that there. And that's kind of what you're saying. If you can't push the whip across the pavement well, you shouldn't be driving.
And I've also noticed California drivers, when they need to change lanes, y'all change lanes.
Oh, yeah,
right,
aggressive.
Now. It's happening.
Oh, it's aggressive.
It's happening right now. And it often does not include a turn signal.
No, it doesn't.
Right after this, we...
pet peeve, too. Especially when you're about to hit the... Look, when you get ready to turn in somewhere and all of a sudden I got to mash on my brakes like pit bull brakes, now I got issues. I got issues with you.
Right after this, we must discuss what everybody is discussing. That's next. Ejectocito, cut!
Cattles.
And Rami.
Sacktown Sports.
Best of show. NBA draft just about to start. Look at the Thompson brothers. Looking sharp.
Yeah, they are.
I thought they were going to do, like reverse suits, you know, like one would have the white suit with the black shirt and tie, and the other would have the black suit with the white and shirt.
I think that's blue, right?
That would have been kind of cool. Is it blue?
Yeah, I think that's blue. That's blue.
Is it?
Like looks pretty black.
Like a
back
navy
here.
Blue?
Is that black?
That's black. I'm pretty sure that's black. Anyways, either way,
we gotta see a picture of that.
Either way, very, very sharp. And I can pull off either of those suits.
Yeah,
I just
don't like that.
I do not look good in a suit. I'm not a suit guy.
I could dig it. It's not my thing. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Give me the slacks with the button up and the top hat. I'm good on that end. But suit, I'm cool with the Usher overcoat.
We learned today that the much talked about submarine that went down to a miniature submarine that went down to look at the wreckage of the Titanic. It imploded and all five people passed away. And it is a very sad story when human lives are lost. I knew it wasn't likely. I think most people following the story, and who isn't following the story? If you look at Twitter, it's all anybody is talking about is this submarine. But I hoped it would have a happy ending, Jay. But I'm not at all, I don't know about you, I'm not surprised that it did not have a happy ending.
Yeah.
But this, and I'm not here to demean or insult or make light of anybody's life or the loss of it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely not, man. But
I always talk about the fact that I do not go in the ocean. No. I just do not go in the ocean, much less the deepest depths of the ocean, which they went to, and much less in what seemed like a pretty shoddily put together little submarine that these people were traveling on. This thing was put together with bolts and wrenches
and Logitech and controllers.
iPads and Logitech PlayStation controllers. Like this, I don't know how or why anybody has or would go and take this expedition that these folks took. Am I off on this?
No.
Okay.
No, I think you are. We said something yesterday about thrill seeking. I was part of Draft Mockery. Thrill seeking activities you would not participate in. And I know Simone's she's a surfer.
That's a good Draft Mockery, by the way. That's a really good Draft Mockery.
Thank you.
She's a surfer, so I know she likes to play in the ocean a little bit. I'm not the biggest beach person.
I get in the ocean. I did. I got when we were in LA. We went to Venice Beach.
Oh, okay.
I got in up to my waist.
Got a little Pacific on your body, huh?
Yes, I did. Okay. Yes, I did. I'll get in up to my waist.
That a boy.
That's it.
So you're not you're not gonna swim a little bit.
No.
I mean right there on the edges.
I'm not gonna submerge myself in going under. I'm not putting my head under the water in the ocean.
You don't want to taste the salt?
No. Okay. That ain't happening. I have salt at home. I have a salt shaker right there at home. Put it in some
That's
water.
It's not natural salt though. Well, it is natural, but I get it.
Yeah. I'm just saying, no, I don't know what's out there, man. Yeah.
Have you ever been on a cruise?
When I was very, very young, my parents took us on one cruise.
Really?
I would never.
Not anymore?
No.
Wow.
I'm dead off of the cruises as well.
Have you been on a cruise?
Yes. I also went only once as a child. Thanks, Mom.
I would never.
Really?
I ain't getting on no cruise, man. No. Hmm. I would never get on a cruise.
What's the difference to you between being up in the sky and being on the ocean?
Oh, I used to be terrible about flying, too.
Okay.
But the thing about flying is, and especially now that I live so far away from all my friends and family and stuff that I grew up with, I kind of have to. You know what I mean? I don't have 30 hours to hop in a car and drive to Milwaukee or Chicago.
Especially with bad traffic.
Exactly. To go see my friends and family. That's just not an option. There's no reason I have to get in the ocean. it's not a necessity. You know what I mean?
Very true.
And also, I know what's in the sky. Jay, there are depths of the ocean that we do not even know.
Yeah.
Like, it's so deep, we don't even know how deep it is. And the deepest parts of the ocean that we know about, you could fit, there have been so many charts about how deep the ocean is. I think, three, four Eiffel Towers stacked on top of each other.
That's crazy.
In the deepest depths of the ocean.
Wow.
It's a scary place, man. It's a really, really scary place.
I would rather go to space than I'd rather go under the sea.
Not doing that either.
Yeah,
not doing that either.
Fair.
That's because you don't know what's going on.
Exactly.
Up there as well.
Exactly.
First of all, blessings to the family.
For sure.
To all the family members
Absolutely.
Who have lost someone within the crusade that happened. You know, submarines submerging themselves. I'm with you. It's not on the top of my list.
No, ain't going to happen.
No, I'm not a big water person either. I'm not a big beach person. I like to swim here and there. It's not one of my favorite activities. You know, certain things, I jump out in that pool and get it in. I would have definitely thought twice about going to see, you know, that this thrill-seeking activity. It what amazes me, Rami, and this is to each their own. This is what makes us all great. We all have likes and dislikes, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't really need to see what's going on in the ocean.
No.
And that's where I agree with you is whatever's presented, if I can sit back, watch a little Nat Geo or, you know, a little something like that.
I find the ocean fascinating. I love the nature docs about the ocean. You know what I mean?
Personally, I don't need to be involved in it.
And yeah. I got
one kind of controversial take on this.
Okay.
And I got 30 seconds to get it out.
No, you don't.
Go ahead. Then we'll see if the boss comes in and fires me. All right. If you're going to do stuff like this, because it's not cheap. It's not.
No.
What they did, they paid a lot of money. And we're talking about some very wealthy people that were on that submarine. If you're going to do stuff like this, if you're going to go on a thrill ride to the bottom of the ocean, knowing what could go wrong, I think you should have to put down a search and rescue deposit that pays for all the search and rescue for you should things go wrong.
Efforts, yeah.
Because you had, I don't know how many people, man hours, manpower, resources, money put towards finding these five people by multiple countries so that they could go on a joyride in the bottom of the ocean.
Hmm.
And meanwhile, the people of Flint still don't have clean drinking water.
Oof.
That's all I got to say about that. We'll get back into the NBA draft and give you the top spot right after this.